Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. Okay, you guys, I just hung up with Emily Steele. She is the CEO and co-founder of Hummingbirds. And if you have not heard of Hummingbirds, you have to check them out. It's such a cool company. They're a venture-backed platform that connects CPG brands with over 30,000 everyday content creators. I can't even tell you guys how much I could have used Hummingbirds when I was launching a brand in 2019. It is seriously such a unique service and a way to penetrate markets where you can't actually physically go in those early days when you need people pulling your product off shelf and talking about it. That's exactly what Hummingbirds does. So with a deep belief in the power of authentic partnerships, which really shines through in Emily's personality, her and her team have scaled Hummingbirds to dozens of US cities, helping brands drive shelf-level awareness by matching them with creators that are eager to really just try and share their products with friends. I love this conversation with Emily, and she gives us the full download on how she came up with this idea and how she's really scaled this incredible company into an amazing resource for CPG founders and turned it into a tech platform. So without further ado, my conversation with Emily. Emily Steele, welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a treat to be here.
Yes, absolutely. So, Emily, you are the CEO and co-founder of Hummingbirds.
Yes, I am. All day, every day.
All day, every day. I love it. So I can't wait to dive into everything Hummingbirds and influencer marketing and everything, all the secret sauce of what it is that you guys do. But before we dive in, what are you currently hustling for? And not in a toxic hustle way, in like a what are you moving towards kind of way? What are you building? What are you growing?
Gosh, I always feel like I'm hustling towards like the next thing and the next thing and like creator marketing, the next thing and like travel and experiences, like what's around the corner is always kind of like been my ethos is like, what door can we open next? What rock can we turn over? What's under it? Who's got that? And I feel like that's where my energy always is towards is what's next, not what's happened, but what's going on next.
Yeah. Well, what is next for you?
What is next for me? Oh my gosh. Well, we're in the middle of like continuing to scale the company. So it feels like, oh, what's next is a new city. Every week there's a new city where we're going a million miles an hour at Hummingbirds. And so it's the all day, every day, growing a team, running a tech company, which, you know, I didn't fully know years ago that I would be signing myself up to do such things, but feel so grateful to be in a role that I feel really aligned with as a human and doing things that I love and marketing and creators.
It's just crazy. Like you guys really are opening up. I feel like every time I go to your website or see an announcement or something, you're like, new city, new city. I mean, that's, I guess we're going to, I want to get into all that, like how you're operationally sustaining all of that too. So we'll get there in a second. But first, tell us about you and what your background is, what you were up to before Hummingbirds, like what life was like before you launched this company.
Before I joined the nest of the birds. I'm like, there are too many bird puns now. It's so terrible. I'll try not to drop too many. I'm like, they're so bad. So before Hummingbirds, you know, I went to school for marketing and PR, and I always knew I wanted to be in comms because it felt good. Like if I can make an impact using my voice and helping businesses find their voice, create messaging, that will feel really good to me. And so I did that in the nonprofit space through community development, I started a couple businesses in and around Des Moines, Iowa, where I'm from. So like a women's networking group, a pop-up yoga brand. And I've always been up to something. It would probably be the best way people would describe me.
You've always been building something.
Always building and always curious, always tinkering, trying, testing. And I think it was a mix of a lot of different experiments in and around Des Moines of things I was initiating and bringing to light that I realized I have a really strong gift for building brand. And I realized I was gifted at this when people in and around my community were like, can you help us with this kind of community marketing approach you're doing for your little side hustle things? And I'm like, that's really interesting because I didn't know as a human what I was doing. I was just doing what felt right and next and intuitive. But when I stepped back and looked at, hey, how could I do this for other companies? I realized there was a bit of a formula, a playbook that I could bring to them. So what was I doing before Hummingbirds? And I was building a marketing agency, which is really where Hummingbirds came to life. And so I was working with a handful of clients that were trying to solve this kind of local awareness of their brand and driving that local behavior, whether it was signing up for an appointment, booking music festival tickets, you know, all of the things that happen in a geographic centric way where your best customers live in and or around you. And so I was trying to solve this geographic play of local advertising and realizing that most of my clients were doing very old school things to reach young consumers. And it was like such a mismatch. And so I'm like introducing them to, you know, working with their customers. How do you get your customers excited to talk about you? Leave reviews, all the things that are very, very common now in 2025, but we're a little bit newer to people who just weren't as familiar with social and or email marketing, all the things. So that's really where Hummingbirds came to life, is seeing my own customers and clients and saying, how do we get people in and around Des Moines talking about you? And let's see if that creates lift in what you have to offer. And so I ran Hummingbirds as its own kind of service in my agency. I worked with like a local guy to build a very basic piece of technology where people could sign up as a hummingbird and match with the brands that were my clients at the time in the agency. And it was just this thing that really pulled at me of like, you could productize this. You know, your birds, your creators are asking when you're going to be in other cities. And these companies I was working with were referring me and the hummingbirds to their friends in Minneapolis and Chicago. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah. You're like, how are we going to execute that?
Yeah. And so it was just like, I felt this constant pull towards expansion. And so I followed those, what I would say, like the breadcrumbs of my curiosities. Like I never went into running an agency and running the service with the mindset of I'm building a venture-backed company that's, you know, going to grow at scale and all of the B2B SaaS terms I now use, right, and business growth. But I wanted to solve a problem and I wanted to do it through marketing and communications. And so peeled the service out of Love Local, my agency, named it Hummingbirds because hummingbirds are like your local pollinators, the people who are like flitting around your community. And these are who our creators are. They're everyday people who want to use their voice to try and share new things. And so kind of went the journey of raising a pre-seed and doing the whole like, let's open in 5 cities and see what happens. Let's do 5 more. Like in this growth engine of city by city expansion with a B2B SaaS layered on top of a marketplace, be how we grow and scale this company. And short answer is yes. So here we are today.
That's so interesting. I had a kids snack food company in 2018, and a huge part of our marketing strategy was just utilizing local moms to go and buy the product and talk about it. Oh my God, we could have used Hummingbirds so hard. Like when I think about that, like that's when I first learned about your company and what you guys do, that's immediately where I went. I was like, oh my gosh, my company, Tiny Giants, could have used a hummingbird so, so hard, because that was a lot of work administratively to get all of those moms on board and to coordinate, because we were just doing it via like coordinating everything via text and email and like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But if we would have had a platform and like a way to just like easily get the messaging out there so they could just in turn give us that content, it would have been huge, because local was totally our strategy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I personally like been a customer that needs your service myself.
Yeah. And that's absolutely what we hear. No one really chose to go that local, everyday, geographic angle with creators. And so we're like, let's do that and do it the best and be of service to these brands that really do need it at the retail or very city specific level.
Yeah. Why is it that people powered marketing, I know you guys use this term, mm-hmm. I believe you do. Like, why do you feel like you're having success? And how, I mean, clearly there's a huge difference in like what you guys are doing versus like, you know, a traditional influencer campaign or influencer marketing agencies. But maybe just for the audience and people mm-hmm. that aren't super familiar with Hummingbirds, how are you different? Explain to us the exact model, if you're a brand, what you guys provide.
Yeah, I think if I think about the whole influencer creator ecosystem, I've always had conviction that people are the best distribution channel. You can use, you know, Facebook ads, you can use word of mouth marketing, you can do retail media, you can, there's so many things you can do. But at the end of the day, I've always been most energized by people championing a product and a brand experience, which is why Hummingbirds was modeled the way it was. It's like, how do you do this authentic word of mouth marketing at scale in a way that really continues to be authentic and really hold on to that as a value? And so when we think about, you know, other like micro influencers who are looking for more of a career path or, you know, actual, they're making full-time income from the content they create, we're really focused on the person who's like, hey, get a $50 gift card to go into Whole Foods and try a product and share about it. And this is something I do because I think it's fun. It's a hobby. It's an interest to me. You know, it's a creative expression when I pull together a video and tell you about my experience trying XYZ product.
Yeah.
And so there's just so many. I think what's really great about 2025 is the landscape of influencers has become more defined. You kind of have your local everyday people who are just like, they're talking about their life. The people who follow them probably live in their same geography or actually know them in real life. You have some of the like micro influencer, the 10,000-ish followers to 50,000 followers. You have, you know, then you kind of go the macro and the celebrity. So the market has matured a lot since the inception of Hummingbirds, but we really play in that, you know, you have an influence where you live, you have maybe a couple thousand followers. When brands choose to work with us, they really are trying to drive that retail shelf level awareness in a key retailer, and they need real content from real customers and real people. And so our best, you know, our favorite customers are the ones that are like, oh my gosh, this like feels like my best friend is talking about this, not like a really highly professional piece of content. And I can get 100 pieces of content from Whole Foods in 2 weeks instead of curating something really big and splashy with maybe one macro influencer. I like to say like there's room for, you know, I think I don't say like you have to just use Hummingbirds. I think you should really think about a whole omni-channel approach of creators. I just am like, this is where we play in the space.
How do people become Hummingbirds?
They sign up. So I think what we're really focused on that, you know, is interesting and different is like when you think about democratizing influence, everyone has influence. So how do you give everyone an opportunity to use their voice and try new things? Anyone who signs up for a platform can do things in their own backyard. Like, you know, it's National Ice Cream Day. It's, you know, I don't know, baseball game season. So they're out there creating content and getting better at their craft. And so we give them mm-hmm. these opportunities. But anyone can express interest in a campaign. It's really up to us as a brand to show the best creators for what the brand is looking for. So some brands are like, we just want like this age demographic or a parent. And so those are the ones that bubble up in the kind of application process of the campaign they put into the platform.
Amazing. So Emily, who are some of the brands that are currently utilizing Hummingbirds? Can you share any of that with us?
Yeah, I sure can. I mean, it really does range. And I think that's really exciting from some emerging brands to more established. It kind of runs the gamut. So like Olipop's a customer of ours, Pachon's, we have Goodall's, Oh my gosh. Like so many brands. I'm like, I just open my website and go look at some of the logos. It's really fun. We're not really necessarily focusing on the enterprise, but more of that, like the brands that are a little bit better for you. They're emerging. They have a really interesting story. I think Happy Coffee is a really good example of a customer that is doing something really impactful. So we can get our creators on board and excited to try something and feel really genuine about sharing why the love they experience in the brand.
Yeah. So tell us about the results. What are some of the brands that are using these like localized creators seeing? How are you seeing it help shape the brand's growth?
I think what's really the distinction of where you work with a local everyday creator versus someone who is a little bit more professional and driving e-commerce behavior is we really focus on retail.
Yeah.
And retail is offline. It's the footsteps. It's, you know, moving product. Some brands, CPG brands, are really sophisticated and like really measuring that store level velocity and the units moving and measuring that and attributing it to creators. I would say that process has a long ways to go. And like, how do you, when you measure the lift, when does the lift start to happen? How long does it sustain over how, like the time period? To us, we're like, that kind of overcomplicates it because not a lot of these brands have that level of sophistication. And there's so many ways to track the data. So we really just lean in, like this is a brand play when you work with Hummingbirds. Like you're looking at the social media metrics, you're looking at the reach, impressions, the engagement on the content. You're getting access and content rights. And so you get to take the content, repurpose it, run ads to it, you know, use it on your website, on your own organic. I think something that's really interesting to hear from our customers too is they get into a Costco and it's a great way for them to say, hey, we're sending 100 people into Costco over the next month to move this product off shelves. So like we're investing in this relationship this way. And then it also shows future retailers, hey, this is how we show up when we get into Sprouts. This is our plan to activate these 50 to 100 people come into the store. It builds your loyalty and your retail presence and it moves product. So it's really interesting to see even the persona too of a Hummingbird as someone who's like, oh my gosh, this brand chose me. I love this. I'm so excited. Like I am now loyal to this brand because there's an exchange of, I don't say like an energy exchange, but it's really fun to be selected in a campaign. And so we find that our birds come back again and again. And I like to say too, like a creator can become a customer. There's no other ad channel that can actually become a customer. And so some people really look at this as like, as a acquisition channel. And so if you can make the math make sense, if you know that on average, like the LTV is $600 and what you pay for a creator is a fourth of that, then you can start to be like, oh, okay, this is the math itself out. So I wouldn't say we're like a performance marketing tool. If people are very much like, I need attribution, I need ROI, I'm like, you're not going to like our platform. And that's okay. Like, that's not what we designed ourselves to do. We want to be a really key brand play for you and retailers to create that brand awareness and buzz that in a local way that other channels just can't quite get to.
Well, I think it's also such a great tool. I work with so many brands. And when you have an opportunity with a new retailer that's outside of your home turf, the first place you go with your strategy is like, okay, how are we going to support this? We can do the usual like TPRs. We can do participate in whatever type promotions or marketing the retailer wants us to. But the retailer always wants to see what else you're going to do. They want to see the plan. What are you going to do on your socials? What are you going to do with PR? What are you going to do with influencer content, et cetera? When you're looking at like, what is the main goal? The main goal when you're launching a retailer is that the product moves off the shelf. The product needs to move and people need to know that it's there and that it's, you know, available for purchase. And I feel like Hummingbirds is this extra sort of like layer of marketing that I imagine buyers really love to see because it's just almost like a guarantee, you know, like they always want to see that you're going to be talking about their specific launch on your socials and sending people, driving people into stores. Surely a brand can do what you guys do on their own, but it's like, that's a whole huge crazy lift, especially speaking from somebody who has done it myself. So I really do feel like Hummingbirds is like this amazing tool for retailers that a brand could be launching in that are potentially outside of their maybe even in their territories as well too, but they just don't have enough boots on the ground or just enough people to execute what it really takes.
We find that, you know, a lot of the brands that come to us are like, we have a lean team, like we need to do creators at scale, but to source creators, send DMs, track them via email, just like you were saying, like it's one thing to get them all organized. It's another to then find all of them, especially at a retail or a geographic level. And we're like, we did all that hard work. We found them. We sourced them. We got them into the platform. We got them excited to be here. So you can take advantage of the work that went into that, creating that community and nurturing them and taking care of them. But, you know, for people who are like, I'm not ready to buy software and I'm not ready for that, I'm like, you can do this. Like, you did it, right? Like, there are ways to do it. I think it's just going in like eyes wide open that the process will take longer than you think to find the right people and make sure they see your DMs, see your emails, get them on board. So giving yourself enough padding of time to really win.
And that's why the fact that you have this piece of tech is so brilliant. You know what I mean? So it just takes like so much of that legwork off. So
I love it.
I'm a fan.
Hey, founders, are you sick of throwing stuff at a wall and hoping it sticks? I see so many brands launch unprofitable products and they wonder why they can never get ahead and figure out how to build a sustainable CPG business. Are you ready to stop guessing and start profiting from day one? Introducing my profit plan. It's a 90-minute audit that slices through the noise with real tactical clarity on your specific brand and cost of goods. I'm Danielle, a CPG operator who's launched 30 plus brands, generated over $50 million in sales, and I'm handing you the playbook. No fluff, no theory, just profit, margin, and scale mapped out for your brand, and I only take on 10 spots a month. So stop spinning and start scaling the smart way. Trust me, you will not regret this. Book your profit plan at the link in the show notes and go from almost ready to ready for shelf and sustainability and profitability.
So I want to hear, how are you guys expanding into so many new cities? Like, what does it look like operationally for you guys when you unlock a new city? And can you just tell us, maybe not every single city that you're in, but just like, because I know it's a lot these days, but like the geography areas and like where, what states are you in these days?
We're definitely like mostly all of the Midwest and then a good part of most Texas, I would say, like the main cities there. And then we're moving towards the Southeast. So open Charleston, and then we're opening Florida this coming month, about four cities in Florida. So that'll be a big splash, which is really exciting. It allows us to open new retailers. And so when we think about opening new cities, it's a push and pull of like, we know we're going to go to these cities because they match kind of the size and population that we know works to find creators or people who are creator curious or, you know, aspiring influencers. We know that where there's density, that more of those creators will emerge. And so we also have a mix of customers who are like, when do you open Publix? When are you opening Harris Teeter? When are you opening these retail spots? Like, we are ready to expand our contract or use more credits when you're in those locations. And so we get the pull from our customers and also just the overall city roadmap. Like, we'll be, you know, spread from east to west in the next year or two. But we're just fighting off one city at a time so we can really invest in that initial launch of a city. So for us, that usually looks like recruiting the first 100 to 200 people via DM. So the things that brands are doing, we do that, right? Because we're like, we have to find them too. But we layer paid ads on top of that and great organic content. And so we have this kind of flywheel that happens as soon as people start creating content for brands. They're using their like localized hashtag. Their friends are seeing it. Their friends live by them. They're like, what is a Charleston hummingbird? We have the benefit of geography. And so their people see their friends' stuff from the gym or their favorite coffee shop where they bump into the same people. They're like, what is this hummingbird's thing? And so it creates a lot of virality for us that sustains our growth in these cities and also that maintains the community itself and the size. So that's kind of under a sneak under the hood. I think the biggest thing we do that, you know, keeps these creators really coming back for these, for more campaigns is A, introducing them to cool brands that they wouldn't hear about otherwise, or brands they already love. Like a lot of people already know some of these big brands like Olipop and Simple Mills, for example.
Yeah.
But we're introducing them to kind of better for you, new, unique brands. And we also have community. We like have a full-time person who runs community, and we pour a lot of time and energy into making them feel supported, giving them a GPT to grow as a creator, to find their voice. And I find it really, you know, it's kind of our moat, in my opinion, that we care a lot about our creators. They're not just a user on our platform. They're real people with stories. We empower them to like meet up in their own cities and like get to know each other. It's kind of a lonely world as a creator, just as we might feel as entrepreneurs, like kind of similar space where when you're kind of feeling like you do it on your own, it's nice to have peers that are in it with you and that can also take video footage of you too, you know? Instead of just like, for me, my husband would be like, no, can you get your girlfriends to do this with you? I'm like, that's a good call. So that's a bit of how we do it and, you know, how we try to really sustain the activity in the platform too through community.
Yeah, amazing. So exactly how many cities are you in right now?
I'm going to say 27.
Okay.
I feel like that's the right number. It changes truly weekly.
Is there a world where you guys are coming out west one day?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But okay, you have a co-founder. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your co-founder and her contributions to scaling the company. What does your partnership look like?
So Charisse is my co-founder. She's COO. We really operate dynamically as almost co-CEOs. Like we're like, let's build this together. We don't have egos. We're like, let's like work hard and work together and collaboratively. But I met her. She actually was COO at a fintech company based out of Des Moines and scaled the organization to about 80 teammates. She'd raised 20 plus million from the likes of Andreessen Horowitz. And so has done the like raise venture capital, grown a big team, like been at this like really high growth startup. My background is running a marketing agency, totally different experience, it turns out. And I knew that going into it, that I was like, okay, this is just a very different, when you take on investor capital, like the goal is to grow really, really fast. And you can grow fast by hiring teammates and engineers and so she really brought this expertise in having been there, done that.
Yeah.
So I'd seen that this playbook done before. And so she came on right as I was starting to fundraise almost as an advisor. And so I was starting to get like my first term sheets and she's like, this is like, do you want a co-founder this? You know, I'm like, I absolutely do. I thought you just wanted to advise. Like, I would love to work with you long term. And so it was very kismet. I feel so grateful. I think, you know, I always look at like the journeys of founders and everyone's like the playbook, right? Like this is exactly how you do it. These are the methods. I think a lot of the experience is, it's a mix of luck, timing, and trusting your instincts.
So many variables, right?
I know there's so many. And for this, I was like, oh, wow, I met her at the exact right time and like her life stage as well. And so we've been incredible partners the last few years. And it's fun to build with someone you actually like really enjoy spending time with. So
good for you. That's awesome. I love hearing like awesome co-founder stories. Okay, so you guys have raised VC money. So what has that been like? And did you get the company off the ground bootstrapped, like on your own dime, I imagine?
Yeah.
Loans, et cetera.
Yeah.
But at what point were you like, time for VC money?
Yeah. I did bootstrap early days, like through the agency, like work, you know, got a loan to get the first version of the software out just to be like, what are we working with here? Does this just need to stay in the agency? But then it got to the point where the demand on both sides of the marketplace were growing so significantly that I just was like, okay, the only way I can scale this without like, people aren't going to give you a bigger loan at such a high risk type of company that VC made the most sense. So I started talking to angel investors in town. It just started to make a lot of sense that this could, you know, I saw it as such a massive opportunity when massive software companies exist. Like that's one of the ways to finance them. And so it made the most sense in my mind at the time. And, you know, I still would go back and repeat that same motion again. And so, we kicked off with $1 million pre-seed and from there have raised 13 million plus over the last few years.
Wow. That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is the long-term plan with Hummingbirds? Like, what do you see the future of the company looking like in the next couple of years?
I mean, I'm really energized by how much the creator economy is growing and evolving, and that we are really leading the way in kind of this everyday creator driving offline retail specific impact. I see so much potential with CPG brands as we scale throughout the country, and how do we get to more retailers? How do we also really own the aisle? I kind of like, you know, doing my ChatGPT, and it just gave me really good ones. Like, what if the aisle is your new algorithm? I was like, I love that. Thank you. I am going to take that. Thank you for the
yes.
words of wisdom. But there's so much impact that brands can have at an aisle level that I think people can really help foster. And I think social content's one of the ways, but there are other ways as well that people, real people, can drive impact for the brands they love. And yeah. so for me, it's about creating a product experience for people that introduces them to brands in their backyard. It like shows them the next best thing that they can try, share, buy, experience. And so I get really excited about kind of creating an experience or a product that does that. But the simple answer is like, go to more cities, like keep scaling. This thing is like working. And so the more cities we're in, the natural growth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a wild ride where, you know, being an investor backed or VC backed is, it comes with the like, hey, there's like an exit insight down the road or
sure.
going public. And so some of those things are just like, what's the timing of that? Like, when do people get excited about that? So we're not close to that at this point, but
you're in build mode.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's always like, what are you building towards? When's that next milestone of raising capital or having serious conversations about exit? So that's the fun part though, is we get to shape that journey along the way.
Yeah. And what are you guys using the funds for? Like, I imagine you're adding team, right? Like, you're probably adding corporate team and continually like reinvesting in tech. I would imagine
exactly.
engineering. Like, what are some of the things that you're using your capital for?
You're totally spot on. It's like growing the team, but also capping it. Like it's an AI first world, especially in software. Like, you have to build way smarter and way faster because of all these tools that are in front of you. So we're like, how do we just continue to grow significantly without like a lot of overhead, a massive team? And so, I mean, for us, it's just like putting money into marketing and advertising too. It's just like, we figured out what that spend looks like of like, hey, when we show up here, like here's the impact. When we use this channel, here's the impact. And so to us, it's like continuing to repeat those motions that are working for our growth. And
yeah, copy paste.
Yeah, it's yep. a really fun, like the early stages of a business are really fun for a lot of reasons, but scaling something that has predictability and a go-to-market motion that's like very solid, very predictable. It's like, put a dollar in, here you get four out. Like it's,
right.
I do love that stage too. And I know we're going to hit other milestones that are going to be more challenging or have different things, but this is the kind of fun one we're in now.
Yeah, yeah. And how are you finding that you are able to like maintain authenticity, right? Because
yeah.
so much of what you guys are building is this like local, like very authentic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like is it challenging to maintain that? Or is it still at the end of the day, the hummingbird people are still like on the local level. So no matter how big the company gets.
No, I think it's fair, especially like as more AI creators come out and like we really see the creator landscape shift. I think what, you know, we created this as a way for people to try and share brands in their own backyard, and they get like a $50 to $100 gift card. And so it's really not for the person who's like, I need to grow. I need to create a lot of content. I'm creating like a lifestyle and a living because of the funds I get from brand campaigns. So this, you don't really see, our creators aren't doing hundreds of campaigns. They're doing a couple a month. And so that lends itself to authenticity when it's not their entire feed being sponsored content.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's a mix. Like, we get to also really think about how, you know, how often do we let people express interest in a campaign? If they're doing dozens of campaigns a month, then their feed will look like sponsored content and they will lose engagement. And that's not good for them or the brands.
Yeah.
And so it's always that kind of dance around like, how much do we let people choose what authenticity means to them versus us kind of shape it through that product experience the brands are having. But again, too, like our community, it's like, we really try to preach like, it's, you know, some people will come into the community and they'll be like, hey, I'll like your post if you like mine. And we like immediately ban those because we're like, this is not This is not hummingbirds. If you want like for like and, you know, comment for comment, like this is, you will not like hummingbirds. We are all about like real connection, real community.
Yeah.
And so I think we just continue to foster that so people know that that's not the behavior that's welcome in our platform.
Got it. So you've got rules.
Got some rules.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can imagine you have to like instill rules because you're like expanding so quickly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you just mentioned, the creator world is changing so quickly and growing so quickly. Like it could easily get wild.
It already has in some ways, right? I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, I think there's a stat out there that like 50 million global creators will exist in the next year or so. And I'm like, 50 million. And then only 90% or so are professional. And so that means like all of these unprofessional hobbyist creators are out there. And I think people have been really drawn to the creator space because it feels really approachable. You pick up your phone and you can be a creator. Like it's really, so I'm like, it doesn't mean you're all gonna like make it,
totally.
Air quotes, you know, but like anyone can do it. And I think that's really inspiring to people who want to create, like express their creativity.
Yes, totally. Okay, Emily, sage advice
for founders
or creators or just anybody in this business that's into products and retail marketing. And what type of advice would you give?
I think the brands that are like treating creators like believers and champions and really seeing them and appreciating them go way further than brands that are treating creators like billboards or something very transactional. And so the call out to brands is like, how do you go just like slightly above and beyond to show appreciation to your creators and like engage with them in a way that's like, oh, wow, like I created this thing for you and you see me and you appreciate me. Because it can get very transactional, right? In nature, when you get 100 people posting about you, it's hard to keep up with all of the engagement. And then I would say on the creator side, like really create content around things that truly, genuinely reflect who you are and how you want to be seen in the world versus like the next opportunity. Because it waters the content out there down. And like the creator economy is already kind of losing trust in like larger influencers.
Yeah.
So it can be up to us. We can keep the creator economy alive and well by doing things and representing brands that are truly authentic to us.
Yeah. I think that that's what's so appealing about your model to me personally is that you've figured out a way to expand the business in such a big way, but at the same time, it still feels so local too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why there's like, I feel like that's why Hummingbirds has this, like, that's like the secret sauce of Hummingbirds, right?
I think it is. I think you're right.
It's like creating something really big that still feels local and authentic at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Cool. Yay. Thank you so much for
thanks
joining
for having
us.
Me.
Yes. Where can people find out about you and Hummingbirds and connect with you guys? If you're a brand, if you're a creator.
Yep, hummingbirds.com. There's a way to sign up if you're a creator. We have more and more kind of specific CPG pages. So if you're in beauty or if you're food and beverage, we have like a lot more examples that maybe resonate wherever you fall and land. But yeah, lots on our website. We hang out a bit on, obviously, on Instagram as a brand since that's where all of our creators are. So Hummingbirds HQ is where you can see like a lot of our content that brands have done and we've repurposed and reshared. So you can just kind of get a snapshot of the birds in the wild.
Yeah, the birds in the wild.
Yeah. Wow. I know.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me, Emily. Until next time.
Thanks, Danielle.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the four critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co and follow us on Instagram at itsallhappeningco. See you soon.